coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That's right. Welcome in. It is Old School here on The Ticket. As always, Austin Orman and Jay Foreman with you 3 to 6 p.m. weekdays here on Ticket 93.7 Ticket and ticketfm.com. I'm Austin. He is Husker Hall of Famer, 8-year NFL vet Jay Foreman, back in the saddle again. Jay, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my octoroon.
What'd it do?
The same old soup just reheated. It is hump day.
It is indeed.
Yeah, I'm tired too. I ain't gonna lie. But I battle, though.
You do. Yeah. You push through. Yeah. We will have plenty of engaging topics to wake you up, I promise.
Oh, including, I'm up.
Including your boy Lane.
Yeah, what about him?
Oh, there's more. We'll get into that in a second. He's about that life. Lane is not making up his mind. I think he likes the attention. Just a theory.
You just now figuring that out?
No, I'm not just now figuring that out. College football playoff rankings. Dayton Raiola decommits. Some NBA stars missing time. Is it time for the NBA to decrease the 82-game schedule? Evan Blaine of the Omaha World Herald. And, of course, everyone's favorite Whiteboard Wednesday coming up at 5 here on today's show. 402-464-5685 if you want to be a part of things. Jay, let's dive into this first, though. Sam Levitt, or should I say Sam Leavitt, started his career at Michigan State, talked to Nebraska, ends up at Arizona State, leads the Sun Devils to the college football playoff, suffers a foot injury, has foot surgery. Late October, early November. And now his brother, an agent with CAA Sports, is reportedly shopping him to other high major schools.
Yeah.
Already. Transfer portal doesn't open until January the 2nd. Those conversations are being had. On Three's reporting, it is doubtful that Sam Levitt returns to Arizona State. More likely to return to Arizona State, is it Sam Levitt or is it Candy Dillingham?
Neither.
Neither.
They're both going to be gone.
Oh, you heard it here first, folks. Where's Kenny Dillingham going?
He's going to start getting some of that gumbo.
Oh.
He's a perfect fit down there.
Interesting.
And so is Sam Levitt. Because the Nussmeyer's
package deal?
Yeah, as long as that Quan's right.
Well, it's LSU. It better be right. Yeah. Really? You see Kenny Dillingham to LSU?
I think he's going to level up. I think he's going to level up. I think anywhere he goes besides ASU is a level up. And this is my thought process on
it. Are you just salty over 96 still?
Yeah, no. But thanks for reminding
me.
Yes,
but no.
Not even at all. Doesn't even. I actually laugh at people when I run like that. Or like my mom used to live in Arizona. My brother sometimes, you know, bust me up. I just laugh at you about it because you're still talking about it and you dookie down your leg against Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. So it was all for nothing. You know, down the Super Bowl when I had Jake with me, you know, we met Jake Plummer. He didn't say anything
because he knew better.
He knew better. But the year before, you know, we hung 77 on you. We wanted to do 77-7 so we could have go to the Warhorse Casino.
Ooh.
Before it was even built. No, I'm just kidding. I think my thought is Arizona State is a good job. I don't know if they have the money to really put together a roster on a consistent basis. And I think Dillingham is on his way up. I think to keep a quarterback, a legit one, like Levitt, you're linking $4 to $6 million.
Woof.
I'm just guessing. I mean, Carson Beck got four. This dude's better.
I was gonna say,
okay,
yeah.
So, $4 to $6 million. Also find it very hard for Arizona State, you know, with the size of their campus. They have a pretty decent alumni, but you look, you're in a pro sports town. It's hard for universities to survive in pro sports towns. College football usually does better in small communities
where it's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, Ohio State's an outlier, but I think Ohio State was there before the Columbus Blue Jackets or whatever it came.
Well, it helps that the Bengals haven't been good. The, right. the Indians/Guardians weren't that good. The Browns.
We don't need to talk about the Browns. So, you know, so that's it.
Cavs.
Right.
And Blue Jackets.
Just, that was just during LeBron, but Ohio State is their protein. So I think that's why I would see him going to even somewhere, you know, like Arkansas or somewhere like that, that, you know, you got that money. Hmm. He's a heck of a little coach.
He is. Yeah. I agree. See, I think it's more likely he stays this year.
Sure. Yeah. I think within a year or two, but you can't let that light, when your light's shining the brightest, you can't wait.
Is Arizona State, though, a job that maybe has a higher ceiling than you would think? Or are you saying because it's a pro sports state that there really is no ceiling? He's bumping his head against it, just making the playoff. And
he's
that's
hit
that.
The ceiling. Hmm. And that was last year. Got caught everybody by surprise. You really would have been able to make some noise if your other receiver was healthy.
Right.
That was it. You know, and then, you hit, you know, home run. You know, I'll say you swung with your eyes closed and you hit a grand slam with Sam Levitt. I mean, because you can't really account for a guy of his stature to go to Michigan State, the coach get fired for, you know, off the field issues. And a byproduct of that is Nebraska flips the number one quarterback. So you divert your trip to Lincoln down to Arizona State where they need a viable quarterback. And you knock it out of the park and you've never played.
Mm-hmm.
He played well. Well, he played against us.
Yeah.
And he did well. But you know,
but he was splitting time.
Right. It wasn't like you were a starter for like, you know, 2 years. So, you know, I think Arizona is Arizona State's a good place. I think it's, I just think Dillingham is on the way up. I think you lose Sam Levitt. You know, I think you lose a lot in your program. And I think mm-hmm. He's going to cash in. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think whether Dillingham stays or not, I think is totally up to him. I know he probably has some options, though.
We will talk about that next year because it ties into the Lane Kiffin discussion. We'll start with this, though, Jay. LSU, obviously open, as is Florida. Florida now interviewing John Sumrall. The Tulane head coach are setting up a conversation. Okay, that's a pretty hot name down there in SEC country. Obviously, at Tulane, SEC ties back to his time at Kentucky, and then you get to the Lane Kiffin of it all. May or may not have received an ultimatum from Ole Miss, went on McAfee and summarily denied that it being an ultimatum, but either way, there's multiple sources, multiple outlets reporting that Ole Miss is kind of fed up with the constant, will he, won't he? Does he really love us? You said the Rose example, right? Does he love me? Does he not love me? Whatever. Yeah. Sounds like not just the athletic side, but also the university side is pretty fed up with that. And Ole Miss, according to some people, has given Lane through the Egg Bowl. Either you're here or you're not. Make up your mind. With Florida interviewing Sumrall, maybe that's some pressure on Lane. If Florida's his dream job, you'd assume he's their first candidate. If there is interest between Dillingham and LSU, okay, there's some more pressure ratcheting up a little bit on Lane. But there's one element here from the CBS Sports reporting. One booster who thinks they know Kiffin pretty well wonders if Lane feels like he's hit his ceiling in Oxford. I find that hard to believe because if you can get into the top four in the college football playoff, which Ole Miss is certainly on the doorstep of doing, then you have a chance to win a national title. Being in the SEC, building it to where Lane Kiffin has done it, I still think the ceiling is a national title. I find it hard to believe Lane Kiffin has accomplished everything he can, which if that's what that booster thinks Lane Kiffin feels, I would tell him he's a little bit misguided, especially if he's happy his family's there and you've built a place like this. Yeah. But for Lane, how much of the allure is wanting to be in a more traditional blue blood again?
He has an affinity for Steve Spurrier.
He does.
Always has.
Mm-hmm.
I remember after we beat the dog tar out of them, seeing him after the season, he was just like, how could you guys do it? I was like, it was actually pretty easy. Not to hurt your feelings. So, this is probably the second or third time they've had this go around with Lane, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're probably tired of it.
Well, why wouldn't they be?
But they also need to know they've benefited off of Lane
Big news. Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
As much or more with his success than he's benefited off of them. So you need to pump your brakes a little bit.
Paychecks are nice, but...
You got to do a little bit too much dip on your chip.
I think they both do.
I mean, Lane's got to make a big decision. I think it's a family decision. I think it's, you know, like I'm reading here, man. It's like, I mean, I can read exactly off of my phone. His family locked in down there. He's got his ex-wife down there. They got a great relationship. His son's starting on varsity. I mean, this is not just go to Florida and just kind of roll around like you got like little kids. I mean, it's
big boy football.
Big boy football. And I don't think I think he's, you know, he gets to see his family as much as he can, and everybody's kind of making a home in there. But you also have to look at it. There's a time, you know, a little bit of, you know, I think he liked to leave. But also I think, well, I'm just going to tell you what, no, I have a feeling he'd like to leave. Okay.
Okay.
But he'd like to coach his team through the college football playoffs.
Mm. Which Ole Miss would say, if you're taking another job, you're not doing that. Do you know who Ole Miss's top two options for the interim would be?
No.
Joe Judge.
Yeah.
And Pete Golding.
I like, as long as Pete Golding keeps his mind right, he's good. Pete Golding, right? I think either way, if Lane decides to go, my advice is you just need to go now.
Mm-hmm. Stop playing with people.
No, it's not even about playing. It's just that it's just easier that way, because they're there potentially in the college football playoffs. Mm-hmm. Then allow who's going to have to take over until that's done to do their job and you do your job. I mean, you know, Scott coached the rest of the season, came here. It's a different situation. You know, Florida's desperate. They need to get started. College football has changed immensely since then, as far as NIL and all that.
Well, NIL, but also the calendar, right? I mean, early signing day is in 2 weeks from today. Yeah. You know, that's 4 days after the Egg Bowl will be decided is signing day. The difference, too, with Scott Frost before he came to Nebraska was that was one bowl game, not a potential run. It was one and done. You had an end date in mind. You could build up to it. Do what you want.
And there was no rush. Now there's a rush both places. Yeah. You know, Ole Miss is in unfamiliar territory. Got close last year. This is it. And, you know, it's part of, you know, leveling up. I always say, you know, when you get to those jobs, Power 4 jobs, Big 10, SEC, some ACC jobs, some Big 12 jobs, the only way you go to other jobs, if it's one that you just, all right, this is one you never would, this is like, okay, I wish I could possibly coach here. And I'm leaving. And sure, people will be mad either way. People are going to be mad if you stay. People are going to be mad if you go. Yeah. But you got, if you want to go and you have your family's blessing, then you got to go. And you got to go now.
Mm-hmm.
So because you need to get started. You need to let the plan go in place. Or whenever they need you to go, you need to do your thing.
The CBS Sports article has a couple interesting paragraphs, just reading from it here. In some ways, Kiffin's near decision to take the Auburn job helped spur Ole Miss into this moment. It prompted an NIL fundraising drive to compete with Auburn's perceived bigger war chest. Ole Miss fans rallied to do and give everything they had to keep Kiffin in Oxford to show him that he could have the resources necessary to win big. It was still fraught at times, especially when an 8-1 season imploded into an 8-5 finish, which included an embarrassing Egg Bowl loss to Mississippi State. We scrolled down one paragraph. All the winning in the 3 years since has made Kiffin the celebrity du jour of Oxford, but that scar tissue didn't go away. Ole Miss administrators were deeply frustrated by how the Auburn distractions derailed that potentially special season, and it appears to be having an impact on not wanting that to play out all over again, even if it worked out for Ole Miss the first time. The consternation isn't isolated to athletics either, as university side folks have expressed frustration in recent weeks with Kiffin's hold over the school.
I mean, sure, they've stretched their pocketbooks pretty far, and I'm just getting some information here. They're going to be inside the top 10, and they're not going to be 9 or 10 in NIL. And that was last year. And they're willing to go even higher this year. So there's that's where the frustration goes. It's like everything he's asked, he's getting. But also what you have to understand is, and you know, it might be a great setup for Lane. It'd be really good if he could get them in the national. There's also things going on that campus at Oxford that he can't control. So as much as you are as a administrator or whatever the heck it is that's mad, you better fix that stuff on campus if you're really trying to get him to do what he needs to do.
That's call that been, alignment.
Yeah, and that's been going on for 30 or 40 years, okay? And then also going on in the present time. That ain't got nothing to do with Lane. So as much as you're pointing the finger, you need to direct that stuff right back to you and fix that. But I see their point. I see his point. He has to entertain it. It's part of winning. Auburn as well. I mean, heck, remember there was a time that Tennessee had thought about rehiring him after that fiasco.
Was that after Derek Dooley or Jeremy Pruitt?
Doesn't matter. Hey, I don't know who it was. Probably after Derek Dooley had the best. He had the best post game reaction ever when he just threw his headset off when he lost that game at the last second. You know, a little Derek Dooley rolling out there. But look, this thing is a business, and we'll get into other stuff later. It's a business, and unfortunately, the business it's always been a business, but the business is it's weird. It was always coaches making coaches' decision and coaches' decisions and affecting people's career and saying it was business, right? Or just knowing it was business. Mm-hmm. Well, now it flipped with the whole NIL. Players like, oh, we're doing business, because it became one-sided for them. They could go in and say, hey, you either pay me, I'm going somewhere else.
Right.
and you said, by when? By the time I get on the elevator, I better get a call, right? You know, so now it's kind of back and forth, and now it's back to the coaches. And now you have pressure on, because there's so much with the rev sharing, there's so much money invested that now it's like corporate America business. We have to get the best CEOs or the best, which essentially are the coaches, and we'll go get them.
Yeah.
And we don't care, because we ain't spending our money. We're spending their money. And that's the donors. And so look, man, Lane's got a nice setup. Anytime that you can go hot yoga, okay, with co-eds before the game, you got a nice little setup there, player. And I think his old lady's with him, so I'm just joking. But you got a nice little setup.
And knowing Lane, he would take that picture, knowing what it would do to the internet, and post it just for fun.
And you know what? He's got his life together. And really, I think it's – I know he has affinity for Steve Spurrier. That's his favorite dude. That's cool.
Get ready to learn less miles, buddy.
But you get like that Florida job, man. I know it's great athletes down there. I know it is. I don't know, but everything else.
Here's this from Matt Brown, who writes for Extra Points. Based on only the total operating expenses from fiscal year 24 MFRS reports, Ole Miss actually had a higher football budget than Florida did by about $11 million. Now, Matt Brown also adds, but I can't think that's an accurate representation of the resource situation between the two schools. Obviously, more money in Florida than there is in Mississippi. But that is interesting to keep in mind, Jay, that, you know, maybe Lane Kiffin wouldn't take a pay cut, right? But, you know, an overall resources cut going to Florida, hard to imagine. But at least in 2024, Ole Miss spent more than Florida did. And maybe part of that is as simple as, well, Florida didn't believe in Billy Napier, so they didn't spend to support him, which we've seen time and time again. But it does make me wonder if it is the reality of the situation at a place like Florida or, say, Wisconsin or Virginia going into this year.
Yeah.
If the financial reality is we don't have this money, we still have to find it, or it's we don't believe in you, we're not going to spend it on you until you prove to us that you're worth it. Because if Florida has more money than Ole Miss, has more history than Ole Miss, has more tradition, wants to be a player, why would you not then outspend Ole Miss? Either the money's there and you're not using it and you're doing whoever the coach is a disservice, or the money's not there and you got to figure
lying.
That out.
Well, you're lying.
Or that.
You know, hey, you come here. We got this NIL deal for it. Psych. Little boy, what was
Rashada?
It? Rashada. Yeah. I still think LSU's in play.
I think if Florida's tired of waiting for Lane and they're talking to Sumrall, it's going to be LSU for Lane.
That's just,
or he's staying put. Or would he take Auburn this time?
I don't know. I mean, he's got plenty of choices. But sometimes you can kind of hem-haw around and just kind of sit pat and lose them all. I think Lane's way smarter than that.
Well, and here's the thing.
His agent is as well.
Say he stays at Ole Miss, and yet he continued to let the fires burn. Even though he has a good situation for him in Ole Miss, that's toxic.
It can be if they take it personal. Now,
which it sounds like a lot of them are more than happy to do.
That's just a smokescreen to say that they don't want him to go. They don't know how to express themselves.
Well, it's also probably an inferiority complex.
As it should be. You're Ole Miss still.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
No offense, but you still Ole Miss. All right. And
they don't call you Ole Make.
I don't know. I don't think there's a perfect job out there anymore.
What's the closest to a perfect job?
For him?
Sure. For Lane. What's the closest thing to a perfect job?
The perfect job is the job he has. It's not the perfect scenario because you're in the SEC.
Right.
But the perfect job is what he has right now. I don't know enough about Penn State's administration to keep everything real tight-lipped. But when you look at Auburn, all right.
Second fiddle, younger brother.
That's just hot garbage. And sure, you could be mad at Hugh Freeze because he played golf on Sundays. I mean, come on. Right? It only mattered when he was losing.
Yeah.
And he never really won, but, you know.
Right.
But just think about the plethora of coaches they've had and the issues, right? LSU, right? Normally, until 3-4 weeks ago, that's the best job. Not so much. You just don't know what's going to happen. You don't even know. You don't know who your friends are, your enemies are. You just don't. But football-wise, all that, that's it. But everything else outside of it, which is a big deal, which is part of the thing that Ole Miss stretched so much for him, mm-hmm. so he could do his job, so he's not so much, you know, stretched doing the wine and cheese and stuff like that. He has somebody that can handle that, and he does his thing very well. And then you have Florida. Same thing. Where Ole Miss is willing to wait for you. But I think sometimes this recent success of Ole Miss, of being in the forefront by Lane Kiffin's brand and on the field.
Well, that's kind of one and the same.
It is one and the same. But then Ole Miss is forgetting where you were and who you are. Now you think you are something. And then you will lose credibility immediately when he leaves the building. Yeah. And that's on his mind, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got a great setup there, but I know he's, you know, just from knowing him, and I'm not going to fashion like we're like great friends or anything. Or, you know, if I, you know, catch him on phone or whatever, that's it. We have a very good mutual friend. You know what I mean? One of my mm-hmm. close friends is a close friend to him. So we sometimes communicate through there, and I never want to bother them like that, but I know he's got always like a thing from Florida. I know for a fact that. I know. I mean, I just know it.
So then do you think that the Summerall interview is legit for Florida, or you think that's a leverage play to pressure Lane?
Just in case. Lane's quirky. When you think you got him cornered, right when you think you got him figured out, he's just somewhere else. Yeah. Yeah. He's like, guys are so zig. So.
Let's get to this from 1171, Sartor Herman Jewelers text line. My predictions, Summerall to Auburn, Drinkwitz to Florida, Dillingham or Riley to LSU, and Alex Golish to Arkansas.
I can see all that happening. Are you as high on Alex Golish after you saw them get mud stomped by Navy? I know DP was this hype. He loved Navy. he was hype. I know.
I'm a Navy family guy as well, so I'm always going Navy.
Did that affect?
I don't want to let one game happen, you know, sway my opinion that much. Golish is good. But he's also relatively new on the scene. You know, it's like a year and a half of building now. So you got to weigh that more so than any one result. Of the guys on that list, honestly, I probably feel best about Drinkwitz.
Stand on, anybody that stands on business. Oh, we got the text of all centuries right here.
Is it 6785?
Yeah.
How about this? Lincoln Riley to LSU. And Lane Kiffin to USC.
You heard what your boy from Michigan, what's his little name, Desmond Howard?
Mm-hmm.
He said he thinks that Riley, you know, might leave. I call it a transfer fee. LSU would take the take over and they'll pay an exit fee.
It'd be very hefty.
It's not a buyout.
Still hefty.
That's not, those aren't that much. When you leave a job and go somewhere else, the buyouts are big. It's like $5-10 million.
I wouldn't be so sure this isn't double digit.
Yeah, $10 million.
I'm saying a little more than that.
No. Nobody even knows how much his contract is except me.
Except you.
Yeah.
Now the funniest part about that.
Would be Lane back out there?
No, it would be Lincoln Riley. I'm not taking the LSU job.
Oh, originally?
Yeah.
Yeah, I ain't taking it this
I'm
time.
Not I'm not going to LSU. I'm not taking the LSU job. Stop asking me. I'm not going to LSU. Hey, I'm going to USC, though.
I think it could work with, you know, whatever. I think somebody's going to have to make a decision now. I mean, obviously, James Franklin is at Virginia Tech. So sooner or later, business has got to start getting done. Because, like you said, early signing day is here coming.
2 weeks.
So
2 weeks from today.
Then what are you going to do? You're going to start off way behind the eight ball and just, like, take five or six losses at LSU or USC? No. You're gonna get it together.
Mm-hmm. Ben, why would anyone want to go coach to school where the governor is getting involved? LSU?
That's it. I think when you're at state schools, you got to kind of mix. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure the governor at Ole Miss is there, and I'm sure the governor at Florida is probably, would it be at University of Florida, or would it be Florida State he'd be involved? Or all of them, right?
Both.
Yeah.
Really just not Miami.
Yeah. So they're going to be involved anyways.
Yeah.
Tell them, I mean, you're going to meet them and be involved. I don't think they're pulling the strings. They're just opinionated. So I think that's just part. When you're making that type of money as a state employee, you're going to see the governor.
You're real familiar.
Yeah. So nothing, just
part of the deal.
Yeah, part of the deal.
He's Jay Foreman. I'm Austin Norman. We'll talk some college football playoff rankings. A couple new teams in. There's some movement. We'll discuss it next.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Austin Orman, Jay Foreman with you. This is Old School 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. College football playoff rankings came out yesterday. Of course, the weekly occurrence on Tuesdays. Not a whole lot necessarily has changed. But, Jay, Georgia moves up to number 4 after Alabama loses to Oklahoma. So, the bracket as of today, it is still Ohio State, Indiana 1-2, Texas A&M at 3. It's Georgia at 4. Texas Tech moves up to number 5. Ole Miss jumps to Alabama in the pecking order. Alabama drops all the way down to 10th.
That's crazy.
Now, as it would be set up, you have Oklahoma moving up to number 8. You would have the Sooners hosting Notre Dame. You would also have Oregon hosting Alabama in the 7-10 matchup. And Brad on our Starter Heyman Jewelers text line described Ole Miss as the lame duck school in the playoff right now, especially if Lane Kiffin were to take another job. Jay, I'm not so sure that's not Tulane, who, for the Group of Five school, no matter who it is, it's going to be an accomplishment. It's going to be an achievement to be that highest rated Group of Five champion. But we know Sumrall's on the interview circuit. He's been a hot name for months now as well. I've liked Tulane. I've liked what he's built there. But man, for that fan base, that'd be a blow. To make the college football playoff, probably have to do it without your head coach. You still take the appearance, but man, you want to be at full strength.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough because you get there, and I'm sure they get a bonus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I assume so.
And you get blown out.
Yep. Thanks you know, for playing. Thanks for coming.
Like a non-conference game.
Right.
So wherever he goes, he's most likely going to try to nab some of their best players, and it's going to be quite some time in between end of the season. Not a lot, but because he's going to be playing right away, or they'll be playing right away. And when you tee it up, yeah, it sucks, but that's just part of it. Where this coaching carousel with the amount of jobs open and opportunity, I mean, you just never know where people are going to go. And he's one of them. He's a hot commodity. He's got them on back in the national scene, you know, for their, where they're at. And, they want a young and upcoming coach that they could build with. He's shown he can build a program, sustain a program. So when you're trying to have stability there, and obviously he's pretty young too, as far as like, you know, maybe, you know, to some of his counterparts that are a little bit older, It's just part of it. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, very rarely would you go to take Tulane to the college football playoffs if it's Tulane or a team like Tulane. And not one time does the phone ring for that coach, even if it's his first year.
Yeah.
You know, they would think you have secret sauce down there and try to, you know, find out what you got going on.
The other big point of discussion, I think, coming out of last night's rankings is Notre Dame and Miami. Miami in there now is the ACC placeholder. Canes have only a 7% chance to reach the ACC championship game. Need a lot to break right for them to get there, but they are put in as the ACC champion for now, as the highest rated ACC team. But Jay, they're still two spots below Notre Dame, who you might remember Miami beat. Head to head. But here's the difference. I think the reason, I don't think the committee did a very good job of explaining it. They just said, oh, well, they're not close enough for us to need to compare them right now. Notre Dame at 9, Miami at number 13. What the committee should have said is that we're not comparing these two teams because Notre Dame doesn't have to be a conference champion. Because Miami essentially does have to be a conference champion. Essentially, Miami's three spots back now of the playoff, if you do the math. And by just saying, oh, well, we can ignore that head-to-head result because it doesn't matter right now. Well, when you see them separated by two spots in the bracket, people are going to think it matters. But for you to say you didn't take it under consideration, maybe they just think Notre Dame's that much better than Miami right now. You know, maybe they think Miami is just going to fall off or something. I don't know. But if you're putting Miami in the field and they're only going to be two spots separated between them and Notre Dame, you got to have a better answer than, well, we didn't think it mattered.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, because it's almost like you're punishing Miami for the, you know, the game, for the, you know, loss a couple weeks ago, but we'll let you in, but we're going to make sure Notre Dame is in good standing. So it's, I don't know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do, just because when you look at this bracket, man, it's like, there's some good games, but it's like when you can't explain it and something bad goes out, you know, it's kind of like the SMU going up to Penn State.
Like, right.
Did you just get a bye week? Because SMU looked cold. They looked unprepared and they looked like the moment was too big. So you want to make sure that you kind of remedy some of the things that you didn't, I guess, project or do well last year. Mm-hmm. And so not having the right answer is not right, you know, the right scenarios and not taking head to head, because in years past that's kind of been the deciding factor. Yeah. And depending on when you went head to head and who's playing well now and who's not, also is a big deal too.
It needs to be. It sure needs to be a big deal because those teams did play. And in an era of college football where things are so spread out, where not everyone is playing each other and you have a head to head data point, you got to use it.
Yeah.
You plain and simple have to use it. The games that I think would be really interesting, I do think that Notre Dame-Oklahoma game would be a fascinating one for a chance at Ohio State. Oklahoma and Ohio State haven't really crossed paths all that much for being two pretty big-name schools in college football history. Then, of course, it could set up for a quasi-championship rematch from last year between Ohio State and Notre Dame. And then Alabama-Oregon. That's one, Jay, that at the beginning of the college football playoff era, we didn't really see. There's Oregon and Auburn at the end of the BCS, and then it was Oregon and Florida State.
Yeah.
We got Ohio State and Alabama, which I'm sure was, you know, ratings gold back in the day. But making Alabama go on the road, and Alabama still has to earn its way in, because how funny would it be if a coachless, rudderless, directionless Auburn team knocked Alabama out of the playoff and maybe opened up a spot for like a BYU?
Man, that would be the worst thing that could happen. for the college football playoff committee and college football. I mean, you got to think two commissioners that would be puckered up pretty tight. Sankey and the Big Ten commissioner would be, because the Big Ten commissioner's already puckered up tight.
Oh, yeah.
And Sankey obviously wants Alabama to be in there based on them being left out last year and the run that they've been on. Mm-hmm. And so if they mishap and lose to an Auburn team, that's literally like a cesspool, that'd be a hard pill to swallow.
Before we go to break, the other thing that I think fascinates me, it's USC Oregon this week. USC at number 15, Oregon at number 7. Oregon loses this one, they're done. USC loses this one, they're done. USC has been walking that tightrope. Yeah. They've needed to win out to get in. They've done it so far. They're halfway through November. But man, Can you imagine USC making a late charge, knocking Oregon out, and then we'll see from there. Does Oklahoma stumble once? Does Alabama stumble once? You know, does someone clip BYU? Because I do think a USC win over Oregon would either vault USC to next team in or first team out or last team in status.
I think if they beat Oregon, they get in. Then the trust would be there.
They're kind of building to it. Yeah.
And then?
Here's the problem. I think USC has Washington.
That's what I was just about to say. And then USC does what USC does. It just let him off the hook. They'll just let you off the hook, man.
And Jed Fish with his crowning achievement before he heads to UCLA.
Yeah, or wherever he's going.
Or is he going to Arizona State after Kenny Dillingham leaves for LSU?
He might end up at Florida.
Florida alum Jed Fish.
That's where he got started at. You know who his roommate was?
Lane Kiffin?
In college.
I have no idea.
Howie Roseman. You know how he got the job at Florida?
Howie Roseman?
No.
No.
No, how he got it. He was a volunteer coach and then moved up from there in Florida. Jed Fish is a tennis player. Yeah. He never played football.
Interesting.
But he cool as a fan. He cool as a fan, though. He's probably the coolest tennis player ever. And yes, he's way cooler than Josh Rosen. That was at UCLA. He just went by every day and stuck notes on Steve Spurrier's car until he finally called him.
I respect the hustle.
Yeah.
Good now for him. Look at him. A couple things from the text line. Waverly Jim, the powers that be will not let Auburn beat Alabama. We all know that.
I'm not mad at that.
Try telling that to Chris Davis. You know, I mean, crazy things happen in rivalry games. Try as you might. Auburn probably should have won it a couple of years ago. Let Alabama off the hook late in that. And then 1171, Notre Dame ahead of Alabama is laughable. Alabama has 5 ranked wins. Notre Dame has 2. Since when do we give more credit for good losses than good wins? Part of that is, Bama had the season opening loss to Florida State, and they do have the more recent loss now to Oklahoma. Bama is still in. They're right next to each other. But also, ranked wins is kind of funny business, you know, because what rankings really matter. We've seen this before. What teams, what conferences get the benefit of the doubt in the rankings? It's the Big Ten and the SEC.
Yeah.
You know, Alabama has more opportunities because they're given more opportunities. Some of that's on Notre Dame. It's independent schedule. It's alliance with the ACC and all of that. I still don't love the idea of Notre Dame being in there at number 9 as a 2-loss team that really failed its first 2 tests early in the year, but they have rounded into form. They have. That was a good SEC game between Oklahoma and Alabama. You know, I think after that one, Oklahoma earned its way in, if not all the way up to number 8. You know, maybe that would have had them a little further down, but so be it. But the fact that they're right next to each other as both 2-loss teams, I think that is the committee telling you, even though the record's the same, they didn't get there the same way.
Yeah.
But even at the end of the day, they're pretty similar.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I like it.
And they're both on the road.
A lot of pressure, though.
There is.
It's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure, but it's not, because if you handle your business early and then hold serve when you're supposed to, these last 2 or 3 weeks aren't as hard.
Yeah.
But now, both teams, like Notre Dame, if they just have a lay an egg, or, you know what I mean, or like USC, you know, Oregon.
Sorry. That's on you.
It wouldn't be. It would be tough not to see 2 psychopaths in him and Kirby Smart in the college football playoff. Them 2 dudes is crazy. I thought I was crazy. Them 2 dudes is nuts for just the same reasons. But and they were both on the same coaching staff. So imagine those guys being in meetings.
Where do you think Lanning learned it, though?
Kirby, and then from Nick,
and then Saban. And
yeah,
where does Saban learn it? Did he get it at LSU, or is it Stephen Ross in Miami?
But no, he had it. He had it at Michigan State a little bit. He had them boys playing a little bit. I think he really turned it up a notch when he got to LSU with that one dude. What's the one that dude? Was it Beauchamp or Muschamp?
Oh, Will Muschamp.
Muschamp?
Yeah.
Them 2 brothers there, though, man. I saw a video of them too. I could just imagine because it was, I know I would mess up, do something, and just see them two waiting for you.
Mm-hmm. Nah.
And there's nowhere to run.
Can't run, can't hide.
Like when I tried to avoid Reggie, I went all the way down, you know, trying to do thing, and he just whoop, right there. Yeah. But yeah, that's it. I think it's going to be interesting these next couple weeks, man. This week especially.
A lot out there to play for.
How 2 weeks away. Do you act when you're comfortable? Are you comfortable, USC?
Shouldn't be.
I mean, have you let your guard down?
Mm-hmm.
Because you beat an Iowa team that nobody thought you could run that counter against, and King was a king again.
Mm-hmm.
So now you kind of did something. You stood up to a physicality of Iowa, even though Iowa went away from the run game. On to the next. We're going to see how you are now. Can you do it on a bigger basis?
How real are you, Oregon? TBD. We'll talk more about that game as we get closer. He's Jay Foreman. I'm Austin Norman. We'll wrap up Hour 1 of Old School after this.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Wrapping up Hour 1 of Old School, Austin Norman and Jay Foreman, with you. Big thanks to our friends at Grotta Bar and Lounge. Check them out in the Clock Tower Shopping Plaza, 70th and A. All sorts of great daily specials, all sorts of great unique menu items. That's Grotta Bar and Lounge, 70th and A here in Lincoln. A couple days late for us to discuss this with Brian Munson on the recruiting segment, but Dayton Raiola did indeed decommit from Nebraska. No quarterback in the 2026 class for the Huskers right now. Jay, we've mentioned it a couple times, only a couple weeks from early signing day. Nebraska could still go out and pursue one perhaps by February. I wonder if Dayton Raiola, now being out of the fold, means that essentially Marcos Davila, the transfer they brought in this year, is now essentially the 2026 year quarterback.
You could look at it like that, but then also, there'll be some shuffling around and so you might be able to get somebody in a couple weeks. I don't think they were actively looking for anybody. I don't know the dynamics or what the reasons were, but you always have a list of guys and kind of keep track of everybody just because you have to, and so they'll be able to go out and get one if they need. And you never know, you might get one after January.
And maybe your read on the situation is different than mine, but my gut tells me that just because Dayton decommits, that's an individual decision. Happens with his older brother happens, but probably will not be related directly to this.
No, they're not. I know Don pretty well. They're not a impulsive or emotional family. And, this is the second big decision, pretty much really the biggest decision that Dayton's had to make it, because I know for a fact he always wanted to be a Husker. I know that. I've been knowing the kid forever, and that's all he's ever wanted to do. And, he's having a great senior year. I'm sure he's opened some eyes because he's improved a lot. He's on one of the best teams in the nation. I don't think that swayed him. Whatever his reasons were, it is what it is. It's part of it. It just so happens that his brother's on the team. And they all support each other in their decision. So that's what he'll make the right decision right for one. And it doesn't necessarily mean I don't know. I'm just saying it doesn't mean necessarily that the door is completely shut. He might needed a break. He mm-hmm. might want to see if there's anything else out there. They might have been, wanting to see, and then maybe they come back together and say, look, man.
We had it right the first time.
We had it right the first time.
Yeah.
You just never know. So, he's a good kid. He'll make, he'll be fine. I'm sure he's got playoffs, a lot of pressure, chance to be a state champ. And then, he's got this. It'll all work itself out.
Two decommits for Nebraska then in the span of really the last 72, 96 hours. We'll talk more with Brian Munson about that on Monday. When we get back, we'll talk with Evan Blaine of the Omaha World Herald in hour two of the show. Some NBA news. Stars missing games. LeBron James back, but the NBA doesn't have an issue. Are we in the point in the timeline where the NBA needs to reduce the schedule? Is it on how the players play? We'll get into that. Plenty more still ahead on the show. Of course, Whiteboard Wednesday coming up at 5. This is Old School on the Ticket.